Pastor Garrity, first time I heard him preach, it was awesome. It was he was teaching on Philippians chapter 6 and the armor of God. He said that the word is an ongoing, you know, he was saying it was not rhema, but it was the logos word, the written word. You know, it was talking about the sword of the Spirit. When it was talking about, you know, what you fight against, when you fight against Satan with. You know, we have the shield of salvation, and we can block back some, temptations. We can block them back. But what do you fight with? You know, I was talking to the guys about, I love Braveheart. I'm a Braveheart fan. I watch Braveheart continually. Unless the Lord convicts me about it, but I will watch Braveheart continually. I love Braveheart. Mel Gibson in that movie, there was a big battle. And I don't know if anybody knows it. He's the Scots, and they were doing is they were trying to establish themselves out of the English rule of absolute tyranny and I mean just nasty, just murder and all kinds of crazy crap. He was going over, and you know, all the nobles of Scotland sitting there, and everybody's kind of just waiting for the terms of the battle to come out. And you know, the nobles ride up, and as they're riding up, William Wallace, Mel Gibson in this, he rides, and he gets caught right before he starts riding away to this meeting in the middle of the field, and one of his guys is like, where are you going, man? He said, I'm going to go pick a fight. We're picking a fight this weekend, guys. We're picking a fight. But I love this part, that the fight has already been won, and it takes your mind, only by your mind, to realize that the fight is won. Only by your thoughts, only by your realization, your belief. That's why belief in the book of John was so powerful. That word belief, believe. And I want to teach you guys, you know, addictions, you know, we want to get back to a little bit of this. Those who know the truth, and the truth shall make them free. Make. Keyword, make them free. It's a ongoing verb. You know what I mean? It's perpetual. It's you keep on making. It's not something, oop, done with it. Good. Yep, done. It's not that. It's you're going to be made over time. Keep on making. And this addiction rock right here, this is not very heavy. It was kind of a pretty light rock. It was weighing down just as much as any others. Addiction for me was a lot of things, actually. Addiction for me before I truly was saved was cocaine. It was mushrooms. It was a lot of pot. It was alcohol. It was everything I could pretty much get my hands on, pills. I actually OD'd on Klonopins at one point in time. Took 27 of them. Tried to kill myself. There's been a lot of... This rock I really don't like. I would love to take a 35-ton press and destroy this rock right now. I don't like it. But I'm going to teach you about this rock, that it will absolutely weigh you down to where you cannot move, where you are so immobile that you can't get back up without the Lord's deliverance, the Lord's help, the Lord's victory on the cross. That's the only thing that I stand upon. I don't stand on teaching. I don't stand on practicality. I stand upon His word of the cross. Paul says, I have known all things. I relinquish all things that I know one thing, and that is the cross. Forgetting all things, forgetting all my teaching, all the awesome things I've learned. One thing I remember, that's the cross. The cross is what you have to hold in your heart. Absolutely, every day, the cross. You have to go back to that cross. When we stumble, we screw up. I talk about the pigs. I talk about the lambs. Don't be walling around in the mud hole like a pig. But you want to get up and shake yourself off like a lamb. You do not want to wall around in sin. You do not want to stay there. Keep a short account with God. Go back to that cross. That cross is ready. That forgiveness, that redemption is ready to forgive. It's so easily able and accessible. Addiction can be so many different things. Addiction to looks. Addiction to being liked. Wanting yourself to be the center of attention. Ooh, look at me right now. Addiction to alcohol. You know, we look at addiction and we put the drugs and the alcohol right up front. We say, yeah, that's it. Addiction to selfishness. Always wanting to have things for me. Always wanting it to be mine. Addiction to pride. Same thing, pretty much. Vanity, that's the whole deal of looks. I don't think it measures up against the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't think it measures up against the unction, that the fact that He wants you to be a complete light for Him. Nothing shielding that light, nothing capping over. As we talk about, we don't put a vase over the light. We don't put a basket over the light, a candle. We don't at all try to distinguish that light, but we try to make it shine to the utmost a bit. Those addictions are going to destroy people and me. I'll just use this time right now to give you all a little backdrop of my life, and we'll just do that real quick. I got saved, and that was awesome. That was good stuff. And you know, all them addictions I was telling you about, that's awesome. I got saved. I got delivered. And that very day, I'll just tell you something about addictions being relinquished by the Holy Spirit, and it's awesome. The fact of the matter was, I never withdrawed. Never. Never. I didn't sit in a ball like some people do and have the pill sick, the cramps that people have. I never had that. Granted, I wasn't coming off of heroin or anything like that, but never had it. I had the power of the Holy Spirit, and He freed me. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. I want to teach you guys this, the addiction part of it. Let's go back to the whole deal. After I got saved, there was things in my life I still kept a little hand on. Just a little hand on. Just so I can feel like I still need grace, I guess, you know. That whole deal where you want to do so good. And in my life, I really wanted to do the best I can with living for the Lord. I really did. And I know it was perpetual. I know you learn as you go. But I still kept my hand on things. I still kept a tiny, when I say little tiny, I mean tiny. And when I say when you let a little inch, when you let a little millimeter go to Satan, He turns it into a mile, and He eats you away with it. When I lived as a Christian and still to this day, I tried my best to free myself of friends. Let me tell you something, that people that you are with that maybe inspired bad things you did before, maybe this night or before you saved, they weren't your friends. I'm sorry, but if someone's sitting there I'm trying to clarify that. I'm not trying to say that everyone you're in contact with that maybe did drugs with you or something like that. And I know that there's not a lot of tattooed up people in here, and there's not a lot of crazy drug addicts and stuff like that. So I always like to preach those. That's me. I mean, that's, I don't know. We've got a lot of church kids in here, and I'm going to try my best to be good. Word of the cross. Paul says, I have known all things. I relinquish all things that I know one thing, and that is the cross. Forgetting all things, forgetting all my teaching, all the awesome things I've learned. One thing I remember, that's the cross. The cross is what you have to hold in your heart. Absolutely, every day, the cross. You have to go back to that cross. When we stumble, we screw up. I talk about the pigs. I talk about the lambs. Don't be walling around the mud hole like a pig. But you want to get up and shake yourself off like a lamb. You do not want to wall around in sin. You do not want to stay there. Keep a short account with God. Go back to that cross. That cross is ready. That forgiveness, that redemption is ready to forgive. It's so easily able and accessible. Addiction can be so many different things. Addiction to looks. Addiction to being liked. Wanting yourself to be the center of attention. Ooh, look at me right now. Addiction to alcohol. You know, we look at addiction and we put the drugs and the alcohol right up front. We say, yeah, that's it. Addiction to selfishness. Always wanting to have things for me. Always wanting it to be mine. Addiction to pride. Same thing, pretty much. Vanity, that's the whole deal of looks. I don't think it measures up against the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't think it measures up against the unction, that the fact that He wants you to be a complete light for Him. Nothing shielding that light, nothing capping over. As we talk about, we don't put a vase over the light. We don't put a basket over the light, a candle. We don't at all try to distinguish that light, but we try to make it shine to the utmost a bit. Those addictions are going to destroy people and me. I'll just use this time right now to give you all a little backdrop of my life, and we'll just do that real quick. I got saved, and that was awesome. That was good stuff. And you know, all them addictions I was telling you about, that's awesome. I got saved. I got delivered. And that very day, I'll just tell you something about addictions being relinquished by the Holy Spirit, and it's awesome. The fact of the matter was, I never withdrawed. Never. Never. I didn't sit in a ball like some people do and have the pill sick, the cramps that people have. I never had that. Granted, I wasn't coming off of heroin or anything like that, but never had it. I had the power of the Holy Spirit, and He freed me. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. I want to teach you guys this, the addiction part of it. Let's go back to the whole deal. After I got saved, there was things in my life I still kept a little hand on. Just a little hand on. Just so I can feel like I still need grace, I guess, you know. That whole deal where you want to do so good. And I really wanted to do the best I can with living for the Lord. I really did. And I know it was perpetual. I know you learn as you go. But I still kept my hand on things. I still kept a tiny, when I say little tiny, I mean tiny. And when I say when you let a little inch, when you let a little millimeter go to Satan, He turns it into a mile, and He turns it in. He eats you away with it. When I lived as a Christian and still to this day, I tried my best to free myself of friends. Let me tell you something, that people that you are with that maybe inspired bad things you did before, maybe this night or before you saved, they weren't your friends. I'm sorry, but if someone's sitting there I'm trying to clarify that. I'm not trying to say that everyone you're in contact with that maybe did drugs with you or something like that. And I know that there's not a lot of tattooed up people in here, and there's not a lot of crazy drug addicts and stuff like that. So I always like to preach those. That's me. I mean, that's, I don't know. We've got a lot of church kids in here, and I'm going to try my best to be good. Right here. He also gone down and killed a lion in the midst of a pit on a snowy day. You're like, huh? What? Why would you chase a lion down? Second, why would you jump in the pit? Ben and I was crazy. He got in a fight with an Egyptian too. It says right there that he took his spear from him. And he killed a huge, took his own weapon from him and killed him. This is a little Israelite guy. Just a little 5 foot, probably 5 foot six, 5 foot seven. I mean, them guys aren't very big. I mean, I'd say he's bulky. I'd say he was buff. But he not only took a lion. Why would you take a 600-pound man-eating beast? Why would you run after it anyways? Most people, when they see a lion, I'm gonna run. I mean, me, probably I'm going to try to shoot it, most likely, just because I wonder what the meat tastes like. I mean, I do. I'm not going to lie. He ran down this lion, and not only did he, on a snowy day, all odds are stacked up against Ben and I. And it doesn't say what weaponry he had on him. I mean, I'm sure he had his sword. Most of the mighty men carried swords on them at all times. And these swords were not very big. They were probably about, I would say, 2.5 feet or something like that of the length of the blade. Wasn't very big. And a lion, a 600-pound lion, a grown lion, has a little bit longer arms than he does. And a little bit sharper claws. A little bit. He went down, he took this lion, and not only did he chase it into a pit, he jumped down into that pit. Picture in your minds some footprints leading up to this pit on a snowy day. Kind of put this in your mind of the footprints of the lion. All you see is the lion's footprints into this pit. And you see, I'd say barefooted. I mean, most of the guys wore sandals, but he's crazy enough to chase a lion in the pit. I'd say barefooted. Crazy guy. Two footprints, lion's footprints, Ben and I's footprints, going into the pit. Picture yourself looking over to this pit and saying, kind of like an IMAX theater. You're sitting on the edge of your seat. You're like, is he, you know, he's chasing the lion. It's like, oh no, what's going on? Lion jumps in the pit. I would say he stood there for a second and waited. I mean, it really doesn't tell definitively, if I can guess. Probably stood there for a minute and looked down there and says, oh. I would say he thought about it for a second. I'd say he thought about it pretty good. He jumped down into that pit. And not only did he battle that lion, but he killed that lion. I wanted to know, let y'all know that all these three things are your lion this weekend. Every one of these things are your lion. And I don't want you to just chase down this lion. I don't want you to just come up and say, lay me down to the sleep prayer and be done with it. Oh, and say, oh, I'm done. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Oh, this is good. I'm going home now. Yeah. I want to get to the root of the problem. I want you guys to, in your own minds, and audibly, I hope audibly, I would hope that you guys say this out loud just so Satan can hear you. I really like when he can hear me, because basically he can't hear your thoughts at all. But he can hear you when I'm speaking. He can hear. And I love to rub it in his face that he lost. He did not win. I won. Jesus won. You won. We're winners in this room. There ain't no losers in this room. If everybody ever called you a loser, that's wrong. You are not a loser. You've accepted grace. You've accepted freedom. That makes you a winner. You're going to be in heaven. That's awesome. I don't want you just to think coming up to a prayer and explaining something to somebody is going to be enough. I would say that in my own life, the only thing that has been impactful is to absolutely take specifically every one of those situations that I've come to in my life that were addictions or that were unforgiveness or were family hurt. And I'm gonna get through these all, but I'm addiction first. And I want you to deal with them on a level of you and the Maker. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:7, it says that cast your cares on Him, for He cares for you. Cast your cares. That word first cast or first cares is your double-mindedness. That word in the Greek is your double-mindedness. You know we're double-minded a lot of the time? I mean, we are. Roller coaster. I mean, David, I read the Psalms sometimes. It's a roller coaster. You know what I mean? Up 1 minute, down the next. That's how we are. That's how we were made. It's all right. It's all good. I don't think it's a bad thing. But the biggest thing with David, though, is you always see at the end of the psalm, but God, I will praise you by night. I believe that you are calm. I believe that you are victorious. You know, I'm not saying that perfectly, but I just believe that this time right now, we have to completely focus in on pain. We have to focus on hurts. We have to focus on unforgiveness and addictions. We got to take care of them now. If not now, when are you going to do it? Get real. Come on. Let's just be real. Do you not have... I mean, I have problems. Let's look at me right now. I have problems. Problems. This guy right here, I have problems. In my life, problems all the time. You know, Grant, I mean, I'd say sometimes, man, he laughs at me a lot because I'm honest, dude. I don't care. I don't care to tell you that I screwed up. I don't care. It says, confess your sins to one another that you may be healed. I don't believe in pride. Pride's dumb. It's of the devil. I don't believe in that crap. He went into the pit, killed the lion. I want y'all to kill your lions today. Because if not, let me talk a little bit about not killing a lion. I didn't kill a lion. I just, you know, like I was saying in my life, becoming a Christian, I did the external things. I did the things like leading youth. I did the external things like praise and worship, jumping up and down. Woo! Yeah! It's awesome. In my heart, I still did not deal with that lion. I chased him into that stupid pit. I chased him down and put him in that pit. I did not kill that lion. And let me tell you right now, it will kill you. He'll come back right out of that pit and he'll kill you. Think that lion wasn't pissed off that Ben and I was chasing it? That pissed that lion off. He's like, I'm a 600-pound beast. You're a 5'6" little Israel guy. Israelite, there we go. What are you doing chasing me from the first place? Second of all, I'm bigger than you. I'm higher in a food chain. Get in my belly. Ooh, that was a good movie. Anyways, wow, I love that we can laugh because it's going to get really difficult for me right now. That's why I'm really trying to make things funny right now because I'm going to get to a point right now and I was trying not to bawl. I was trying my hardest. I was trying my hardest not to start bawling, crying when we were over there and then I was praying over here. I was trying my hardest to hold it together because I don't want to say what I have to say right now. Because I have to be honest about things right now. When I was a Christian, I did not deal with my lion. My lion came back out of that pit. And he destroyed me. He tried. Well, let's just say he tried. Because I'm standing right now in God's grace. I am not down. I am not dead. I'm still alive in His grace. And His grace is sufficient. Freedom is the absolute perfection. Freedom in God is perfection. Let me say that again. Freedom in God is perfection. A lot of people say that Christians, oh, you're not perfect. Yeah, but freedom is. Freedom is the perfect. The blood of Jesus is perfect. Let me help you guys understand what happened to me. What happened was is I did not deal with my lion. I'm just going to be blunt with you. My lion was pornography. I'll be blunt with y'all. I did not deal with my lion. I threw the lion out of my life for a while. But at times in my life, at moments of very, very good weakness, and I say good in the reason of Satan's very little slim opportunity to attack me, he'd throw visions in my head. He'd put stupid imaginations in my head. Remember what we talked about? We're going to talk a little bit about that. He would get right back to me. I started dating this girl, and I just kind of threw it out of my head, and I was like, Lord, I'm victorious in you. I'm good now. I'm not going to worry about that crap anymore. Lord, let me do my own thing. He lets us do our own thing. God will not, He will not impose His will on you. He'll let you do your own thing all the time. And I'd say He sits up and has big horse laughing festivals all the time about me. I'd say He laughs about me continually. I love that I am His humor. I enjoy it, I guess. But at the times of my life when I'm, oh, duh moments. The Lord, He took that line. He helped me chase it away. And when it came back full force. When I was still addicted. The addiction never stopped. Let's just say that. Addiction never stops until the point of death. I don't trust myself. I don't want you to trust yourself. Don't trust yourself. Don't put any trust and confidence in your flesh. Don't put any reasoning in your flesh. Don't put any trust. Oh, I can handle that. Oh, I can handle watching this movie. I can handle it. I'm tough now. Tough Christian. I can handle it. No, you can't. God can handle it, but you need to use the mind of Christ and you need to stay away from wickedness. You need to keep your mind guarded. Absolutely guarded. And when Satan throws an attack your way, I'm going to teach you practical teachings about that whole deal, the mind deal. But we're gonna get along a little bit. Let's turn to Galatians 5:1-13. Or sorry, just 5:1. Let's just go there first. I love that noise. You know, a smart preacher would have marked his pages. Not me. There it is. I knew it was there somewhere. Found you. To stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not entangle again. Do not entangle again. Do not entangle again. Do not. Do not go back. Do not. Never stop fighting. Don't go back. Because the second you go back, the second you let that another inch, that minuscule inch, all the victory and all the power and all the awesome things God has done for you, it falls apart. You can't stand anymore. When you're standing on His rock, when you're not standing on His rock, you're standing on yourself. And let's just say, John is not strong. You are not strong. Your flesh is weak. It's as withering grass. Here today, gone tomorrow. He's designed this way. He knew. God knew from the beginning all this. He knew. He knew that we were going to be weak. He knew that the fall was going to happen. He designed it so He can show us love. He designed it so He can show what love is. I believe that. Angels were, I believe, you know, made to worship. And they didn't have an opportunity for it. I mean, I guess they had a choice because, you know, Lucifer chose to do wrong and whatnot. He sent one third of the angels down. And I guess that was a choice. But from their creation, they didn't have it. You know what I mean? I mean, from what I can see, at least. You have a choice. I have a choice every day when I get up. That I'm going to let these stupid addictions, these stupid things, control my life. Or am I going to let God control my life? Am I going to let His Spirit control me? And that means not entangling yourself again. I did that, guys, with the yoke of bondage. I did that. Let's just give you some practical teaching. When you do this, let's just name off the awesome things that happened to you. When you and your girlfriend get together, and you know, I had that girlfriend for a year and a year and a half to the days that we started making out and we started kissing a lot and whatnot. Stupid. Let me just tell you one thing. Let me give you a little helpful hint. If you spend more time kissing on your old lady or your man than you do reading the Word, you're going to fail. Let's just say that. You're going to fail. There ain't no doubt in my mind. It's going to lead to other things. It's not going to stop. Let's just be real, okay? You ain't hiding nothing from the Lord. He sees everything. He sees your heart. He sees everything. I don't see everything. I don't want to see everything. You don't want to see my life. You don't want to see some things. You don't. Absolutely. You don't want to see into my past. You don't want to see the stupid crap that I've tangled myself with. Well, the days when I let a kiss go too far, the days that I let, our passionate relationship, I called it our passionate relationship. The day you start saying you're passionate about your girlfriend, I think is the day you start to fall on your face. Because your passion needs to be to God. Unless you're married to that woman, you need to be passionate about God. You don't need to be passionate about your old lady. I don't care if you're preparing for your marriage. I don't give a crap. I don't care if you want to test the waters. If you want to test the waters, please do not do it on Christ's account. Do not run His name through the mud like that. Because you will fail. God has grace. You can come back. That's awesome. And I came back. It was hard. Let me just tell you how hard it is to come back after you let that lion sneak right back up behind you and you have your back turned. You think you're doing ministry. You think you're... I was a youth pastor. I was in the internship. I had all these outwardly things that were going for me so much. Woo, John's on fire. Woo, he's a raging Christian. Woo, he's awesome. No. I was falling apart on the inside because I let the lion come back behind me and I let him back into my life and I let all that junk seeped right back up into the surface. And it destroyed the ministry. It destroyed the representation of Christ. When you're in ministry, when you're leading others to Christ, which I hope you all do, because we are all supposed to be reconcilers to the King. We're all supposed to be reconcilers. You know, we've been reconciled, so we should all be reconcilers. If that's a word, that's awesome. I think it is. Hope it is. We should all reconcile others to Christ. That's our ministry. That's what we're here for. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Go ye therefore to all the nations, preach the gospel, make disciples. I'm not saying you have to go on a mission trip to be a Christian. That's not it. Your mission trip is your house. Your mission trip is your parents' relationship with yourself. Your mission trip is your everyday walk in your schools. That's your mission trip. That's your evangelism opportunities. Every day is an opportunity. Let's teach you guys, continue to teach you guys about this relationship I had with this girl. It got to the point where, you know, we sinned, you know, we had sex there, and I'm unashamedly honest, I don't care. I went to my pastor and I was honest. I said, hey, we screwed up, man. I've let this slip. I did that. Hey. They put me on sabbatical. I didn't know what the word sabbatical meant to the point. I didn't know how to pronounce it until a little while ago. Sabbatical. He said an extended break. I looked it up in Webster. It was an extended break. I took a 6 months. Well, it was supposed to be 6 months at the beginning. Then it turned into about 9 months. I sat out. I was counseled by my mentor, Pastor Larry, and I was counseled by my other pastor. I was counseled and tried, and they repetitiously asked me, you know, John, are you doing okay? Is your life, you know, are you? And I rebelled. Because I did not understand that this relationship with this girl was controlling me to the point. Because every time she wanted it, I gave it to her. I mean, I'm trying not to be, please don't think I'm trying to be vile, please. But I heeded to the words of her. I'm not saying she's the devil from hell, but please, men, we are stronger. I mean, I'm sorry, women, I apologize if this hurts your feelings. But men are supposed to be stronger than women. I mean, there's a reason that I'm stronger than, I mean, there's a reason for it. Men are supposed to be the leaders. It's in the Word. It was set up like that. So I was supposed to say no, as Adam was supposed to say no to Eve. I was supposed to say no. But I let that stinking lion chase me down, get me from behind. It's awesome to be a lion chaser. We talked about being lion chasers. Woo, opportunity, let's go get it, you know. Batterson, that book. It's awesome. One thing to chase a lion, it's another thing to kill a lion. It's one thing to come up here and pray that you're forgiven of a sin, whether it be lust, whether it be anything, whether it be pride, whether anything. Everything's looked at, like I talked about last night, every sin is looked at equally in the eyes of God, except one sin, that's blaspheming the Holy Spirit, which if you're alive right now, I don't think you've blasphemed. I mean, I'm sorry if I'm theologically killing you right now, but blaspheming the Holy Spirit's a pretty big deal, and I think it's an unrepentant heart to the end of your time. So let's not get too theological right now. Anyways, I absolutely think that when I let that lion, I let that addiction seep back into my life, I let that open door for Satan to come into my relationship with this girl. You know, the relationship was awesome until that point where I kept on continually letting that back into my life. Never let her know about it. Never let no one know about it. I hid it from everybody. Didn't want anybody to know about it. I was ashamed. Us guys are ashamed sometimes. We don't want to talk about it. I don't care what your preconceived thought is on how you should address your sin. I believe that sin should be absolutely turned away from and never gone back to. I believe in screwing up. That's okay. I believe in mistakes. That's all right. But perpetual, continual sin back in this, that's ensnaring yourself back again into the yoke of bondage. That's telling Jesus, well, I liked your freedom. That was cool. But man, that feels too good to let up. You know, that just feels way too good to me. You know, I feel like I can't go on without it. Oh, me and her, we're going to get married anyways. It's okay. It's all right. We're going to get married. It's cool. This is absolutely ridiculous why the fact that I took the opportunity that I had, that God gave me and trusted me with, It's ridiculous for me to spit in his face and to turn my back, which I did. After the counseling and the mentoring, after all that, I still was in rebellion. I still was in my heart. I know what's in my heart. Y'all know what's in your heart. God knows what's in your heart. But what you let other people know is a different thing a lot of the time. And in my heart, I was still rebelling. I was still fighting against them because I believed that they were judging me. I believed that they were just trying to help me. They were trying to put me back on the right track. They were trying to kill that lion. But it takes me, it takes y'all to kill a lion. With your choices, the choice to come up to an altar and absolutely lay it down. But not only lay it down, but again and again, do not go back to the sin. Don't go back to it. Don't back down. I want to explain to you guys what happened to me after this. It was pretty interesting. You know, the whole opportunity for the bondage deal came up when we were talking about this weekend. And I said, I want to do it, John, because I knew what God was going to do. I knew it. I was still dealing. At the time, I was still, you know, I just rededicated my life two and a half months ago from this whole ordeal. So what happened was I just got back with her. I decided that, you know, I pretty much was on and off dating her through the whole thing of me trying to recuperate and whatnot. And we figured that together, if we got counseled, that it'll be all right. I never killed that lion, though. He was still back there. Chased him back in the pit, you know. I scared him back off. All right. I didn't kill him. I want to tell you guys that one little tiny thing in your life that leeches itself onto you, it's going to keep on hanging on to you until you absolutely force it off with God's grace and God's blood. It's enough. I know it's enough. But you have to make the decision, the choice to continue. God cannot live this life for you. If He would, if He could, He probably would. You know, if He wants to, He could. If He wants, I don't know. He's crazy. Good God. If it was so easy to do this, then not a lot of preachers are preaching what I'm speaking about right now. Because this is not a very easy message to speak about. Because before I come to you guys with this, Lord has, for 2 weeks straight, has just been railing me with getting delivered completely, killing that lion. I killed that lion on Thursday. Let's just say that. That lion's dead on Thursday. Let's just be honest. Time to God is nothing. I don't think. I would pray that you guys, hopefully you would not look at me any different. Hopefully. I don't know. I don't know what you guys know in your heart. But I believe in God's grace. I believe in His absolute control. I surrender to Him. That lion's dead. I put death to that lion. I don't care if you have to take a baseball bat to a computer. Like in the good old movie. Y'all see that movie? Fireproof. He took a baseball bat to his computer. I like that. I don't think I could have done that because parents, they own the computer. They'd have been mad. I unplugged that sucker, though. I feel good about that. Anyways. I don't want to belabor this addiction, but it's the one of the big ones. Unforgiveness. Let's go to my second rock. Let's continue. Oh, it's a big rock. Unforgiveness is big. People have hurt you in your life. Am I lying? Has people ever hurt you guys? Have you been made fun of? I don't know. I don't know your life. I don't know if anybody's ever hurt you. I don't know if people have failed you. I don't know if you might be like John and might have had a dad that was just never there. That absolutely just blew off the face of the planet. I don't know. I would love to know. I'd love to hear your story. I'd love to hear what God's done. It's awesome. I think it's great. Because I believe as you're sitting here that you're a God-believing, God-fearing individual that has had freedom. This is what this message is about. This is about freedom. I'm not going to name this bondage. This is freedom. We're free in Christ, for we know who we are in Christ. We are free, because who the Son sets free is free indeed. I want to talk about this unforgiveness. Let's get some scripture down on it. Let's not just talk about it in my words. Crap, my words mean nothing. That's what I don't like. Luke chapter 6, verse 37. The word's good, guys. The word's going to help you on every situation of your life if you let it. Verse 37, it says, "Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive." And what? Is anybody reading the rest of that? Forgive, and you'll be forgiven? What? Everybody wants to skip to verse 38. Give and it'll be given to you. Shrink down, press together. Woo! Yeah, I'm going to get something. Woo! Yeah! But I got to forgive. And I'll be forgiven. I got to forgive. I've got to let loose of anger. I've got to let loose of unresolved problems. I've had unresolved problems in my heart. There was kids that when I was a young kid, when I was in elementary school, when I was in, I think it was fifth grade, I had pretty much the whole guys that was playing football, I got knocked on the ground, and everybody took their turns walking over my back, making fun of me, poking, just kicking the crap out of me. That was good fun game. I resented and hated those people. Not even a couple years back, I saw these guys on Facebook and I was absolutely railing them. I still did not like them until I resolved this between me and the Lord. Because Satan knows what happened. He remembers. He's pretty good memory. He remembered that those guys have hurt me in my past. And yeah, you can say, "God, I forgive everyone who's ever hurt me." Let's just generalize it. No, let's not generalize things. Because generalizing things is leaving the lion in the pit. Generalizing is chasing him. That's awesome. You want to forgive. I understand. But until you kill that lion, it's not dead. I have to forgive. And I will be forgiven. Let's turn to another scripture. Let's go to Luke chapter 17, verse 4. Luke's awesome. Good job, doctor. Dr. Luke. Verse 4. It says, "And if the sins against you, or if he sins," this is kind of talking about Jesus warning against offenses, you know, people doing wrong to you and stuff like that. It says, "Take heed to yourself. If you warn, or if you, your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in that day, to you saying, 'I repent,' you shall forgive him." So is that conditional? Is that, oh, hey, oh, crap, that's awesome, man. So I don't have to forgive all those dudes that wronged me in the past because, you know, they're not repenting. Yay! No, it's not what it is. You're misreading. That's a brother. It's a brother in Christ. It's a sister in Christ. The object of the lesson was for him to teach that, hey, the awesome thing is if they repent to you, you forgive them. If they relinquish and confess that what they have done wrong, forgive them. But that doesn't solve your problem with everybody else that screws you over. Does it? Does that solve your problem with people that are not Christians? That absolutely rail you and you have no clue why they did it? Guys, people hurt you all the time. People will hurt you. You know, James chapter, I believe it's verse 1, like, or chapter 1, verse 3, something like that. It's not if troubles come. Let's read that. I'll show you guys that. Let's go to James chapter 5, verse 1. James chapter 1, verse 5. Or something. Let's just look at it. I don't think that we're ever in a point of our lives where we're protected. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, we are protected. We are protected by His blood. But trials come. Bad things happen. They're not going to stop. Verse 2, thank you. My brethren, count it all joy. Count it joy. It's good time, good fun. When you fall into various trials, when trials come, not if they come, people are going to make opportunities for you to forgive them. That's what I like to think of it right now. When someone does me wrong, I like to think it's an opportunity. Yay, I get to go forgive them now. It's what we're supposed to do. It's what we have to do so we be forgiven. I'm not saying your salvation is dependent on you picking every single person that's done you wrong. Your salvation is not dependent upon it. I don't believe that. But I do believe that your victory is. Because what happens when that guy that walked on my back in fifth grade that I really, really, really hated, absolutely hated, and I'm supposed to, you know, as a Christian, I'm supposed to relinquish hate, and I'm not supposed to have it in my heart. I'm supposed to hate evil. That's the only thing. What happens when he comes back in my life and God gives me a perfect opportunity when he is down in the dumps? Maybe he's addicted to drugs and alcohol. And I have a perfect opportunity and he's wanting to accept Christ and there's no one else in the room but me. And that is the time that the Spirit has led him in to the arms of Christ. And you are there to lead him. But you still are sitting there with your unforgiveness and your thoughts. Because remember, the battle's in the mind. The battle's not in any place but your mind. Satan attacks this mind of mine all the time. So, the battle is, oh, he can't be forgiven. Look what he did to you. Back in fifth grade, he made fun of you. Let him go to hell. Heck. No. Grace is for all. I believe the victory as a Christian is dependent on forgiveness of all. We've forgiven all. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. I believe that when we live as a Christian, it's not. I'm not, definitely not saying it's going to keep you out of hell. I mean, keep you out of heaven. If you do not come up here and chronologically or whatever you have to do and go through the people that have hurt you in your past. And this is ongoing. This is not just for tonight. Think about it. Use your heads. Have God help you remember people that have hurt you. That's what I do. I ask Him all the time. Is there still somebody, I'll ask the Lord, is there still somebody in my head is there still somebody in my memory that I'm just not remembering right now that's hurt me that I need to forgive, Lord? Is there? Ask yourself that. Please, and then ask Him to, it says, ask and it be given to you. He's ready. You just got to ask. So ask, Lord, is there someone out there that I still need to forgive? Is there someone, I need to settle this. Even though they haven't repented to me, even though they haven't, in the perfect world, they're going to come up to me and they're going to be like, dude, I am really sorry for stepping on your back and kicking you, calling you names. I'm sorry for that. And I'd be like, oh, happy day. But what about the drunk that runs over your daughter? What about the drunk that runs over your mom? And he's sitting in prison right now. And you're thinking about him pretty much day and night, I mean, I'd say. What about him? Does he not deserve? Or do you not deserve the release from the captive? It's easy. You know, Jesus, in Isaiah 60, he has come to release, or sorry, Isaiah 61, he's come to release the captives. When you are in unforgiveness, you are held captive by that unforgiveness. And that is every part of bondage just as much as it is addiction. It is. It's stuck. I wanted to bring a whole big old tank of mud up here and show you guys some of that pond scum mud. You ever been on a bank of a river and got sucked into some kind of, or a pond, and got sucked into cow patty? Oh, good old mud. I used to fish in cow ponds all the time. And I'd get my legs marred up in this crap. And up until the point that I would lay down on this crap, because I'd get sunk. I mean, I love fishing. And I'd get sunk in turtle catching. And snapping turtles. And anyways, I get stuck in this stinking mud. And I get marred up to the point I couldn't. I was immobile. Until the point I laid down, let's key onto this. I laid down and I got some sort of stick. Hopefully it was my fishing pole. You can think of that as a cross. Some sort of object to bear into the mud around and crawl my way out on my belly. I want you to know that hopefully you lay down with the cross. Get out of that mud. That's a little illustration I like to use there. That mud sucks you guys in. And just because you're out of the mud, just because you've chased that lion, doesn't mean that lion, and you're still muddy. People are still going to know you did. People still know I did wrong. From the church I went to, people still know I fell away from Christ. And that I had a whole year of you know, Blount County records. I was arrested on August, what was it? No. Yeah, August 11th. I was arrested for DUI. I drank $300, or not only I, but everybody in the bar. I drank $300, or spent $300 at a bar, and tried to drive myself home. And fell asleep. Thankfully, God has grace and protection angels. My mom is praying for me all the time, and that's what I attribute to this. And thank God my mom's a woman of God, or I would not be alive. And thank God that He spared me for a purpose to spread His fame throughout the earth. I have been arrested. People know my story. They know. People know that read the Blount County. They know that I was, well, I wasn't arrested, but I got caught with pot. I got caught with 7 grams of pot. I got put on probation for that too. There's stupid things that I've done, and that's after being this youth pastor, after being this awesome man of God. But I never killed the stinking lion. And that's what it amounted to. The ministry was destroyed. People I loved, the boys that were trying, absolutely trying to look for an example. They were looking for a good, godly guy to look up to. They're seeing this guy quit being a youth pastor and go out drinking. If they read the Blount Towns and they heard all the gossip, they probably heard about it, I would say. It's ruined. But thank God that He takes ruined, desolate places and makes them new. You're a new creature, new creation. All things are new. Thank the Lord. Did we even read? Yeah, we didn't read that. Colossians 3:13. Let's read that. Let's read from the beginning. It says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, good stuff, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another. Uh-oh, crap. I have to do something. Get all this good stuff. And then I have to forgive one another if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you. So you must also do. I believe that's a command. I believe. And I believe Paul was unctioning of the Spirit of God. So I don't believe Paul was just saying, hey, you need to do that. Guys, to be free, you want to be completely free? Deal with it today. And deal with it on down the next 2 weeks. Deal with the sin. Deal with the unforgiveness. If your dad has hurt you in the past, if your parents have hurt you, you need to deal with it. You don't need to just bury it under thoughts. You don't need to bury it under scripture of living right. You don't need to bury it under works. You don't need to bury your lion in a pit. You need to go down and kill him. You don't need to bury him. You don't need to forget about him. You don't. I don't believe that forgiving is forgetting. I don't believe that. I believe you always will probably remember about the situation. But under the blood of Jesus, you choose to continue to forgive. I choose this morning. I was somewhere this morning, and I thought about my ex-fiance, the girl I was telling you guys about, because I was going to go marry her and all kinds of, to try to save everything. It was stupid. Waste of money. I'm an idiot without the Lord, guys. When are you guys going to figure that out? You are dumb without Jesus. Please know that. Jesus is the only one that is wise. He's the only one that's smart. And with Him in us, that's awesome. That's when we're smart. That's when we're wise. That's when we're made good. When Jesus is in us, not when we're doing it ourselves. What the thing happened was is I don't know. We need to get to Family Hurt right quick. Yeah. I was telling another story on myself. When I was, say, 6, my brother and me in the room, you know, just like my good friend Grant here. I think, dumb crap happens in your life. And I'm not saying Grant has the same past. Please don't think that, guys. Golly, Jesus. Let's not just say Grant. Innocence is destroyed at young ages. I got it, you know, that pornography thing, that came early for me. My brother, he made me touch him. Family hurts. Describe this rock, guys. If anybody been hurt, your family, you need to forgive them. But you need to deal with it. You need to kill the lion. You don't need to forget about it. You don't need to just say, oh, it's forgiven. Oh, up, it's done. Up, it's in my past. Whatever's in the past, I'm not going to think about it no more. Shut up, Satan. No. You need to deal with it. You need to forgive that person, and you need to continually forgive that person. And you need to choose to live in a different way. You know, we talk about generational curses, and there's a lot of theological people that say, oh, there's no such thing as generational curses. I could prove you in Deuteronomy there is. I didn't even look it up, but there is. Generational curses. What it is basically, whatever my parents did, I'm going to look at their example. I'm going to look at the people's example that's come before me, and I'm pretty much going to be susceptible to what they did. I mean, am I wrong? I mean, you're given the opportunity to make your own decisions. I give you that. But living, I mean, I'm not even saying living as a Christian. I'm saying living as a person, just regular person. You are susceptible to the things that you've seen done. I know guys right now that are trying to live in the glory of their dads because their dads was bikers, and they were mountain rebels, and they were all big bad in the 70s, and they killed a lot of people. That's cool, whatever they want to do. They were cool guys, I guess. And they want so bad to be like their dads. That's a generational curse. That's passed down. They want to be like their dads. They think it's cool to go around. And, you know, we were talking, who was talking about something about William Blunt that someone was saying, I think it was Alex Watley, was saying, and William Blunt, there was this boy telling her that their daddies killed black people. So they're going to kill black people. Oh, yeah. Let's just let that racism keep on seeping into our veins more years and years and years. Or are we going to deal with this lion and we're going to kill it? We can chase it in that hole, and we can play a good Christian act and chase it in the hole, but kill it. I'm coming right back to this always because you've got to kill it tonight. Or ongoing. I want this to be perpetual. This is not just tonight. The decision starts tonight. Time in God's eyes, He lives outside of time. He knows that your life has an end. And He knows that there's a certain amount of time. And being grafted into His sonship, you're going to go to heaven. But what are you going to do on this earth? You know, it's been said a lot of times that there's two dates on your gravestone. Time you're born, time you die. That slash in between is everything. That slash in between shows your legacy, shows what you did. So what are you going to do with your life? Are you going to sit and be beat down by Satan? Because he will. Let's just not say he won't. It might not be in your head every day, but he will over time. He will. He'll beat you right back down. That lion will sneak right back out and he'll get you. I'm not saying be scared of Satan. He is disarmed. He is made a mockery of. When Christ died on the cross, let's just read that. That's awesome. Colossians 2:14 says, having what? Oh, I love this. And being, let's go to 13. And being dead in the trespasses and uncircumcision of the flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting requirements that is against you, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it away and having nailed it to the cross. Look at what he did to Satan. He has disarmed principalities and powers. See, we don't war against flesh and blood. We war against principalities and powers. against unseen forces. Satan and the one-third of the angels that got cast down, basically. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he has made public spectacle over them, triumphed over them in it. My pastor, Pastor Larry, he was awesome, he's a mentor, and he was talking about how in the Greek, this is a word picture of taking somebody out, stripping them of all their clothes, kind of tarring them and feathering them. Did you ever hear about that term? Tarring somebody and feathering them? A public spectacle, putting them in the Blount County parade, parading them right down the street, saying, look, disarmed. Disarmed. Through the blood of Christ, not through our efforts. Let me teach you something. What is born of the flesh will die. John chapter 3. It's easy. Verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Flesh dies. Flesh is like a... You're about to get sprayed. I'm getting...
Oh my gosh, I was like...
That's what it was. That's what it was. We were making a good point here. Let's get back to it. It says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. He's talking to Nicodemus about new life, being born again. I want to tell you guys, what is born of the flesh will die. What you try in your own works will die. It will fade away. When you chase that lion down, that's awesome. By the power of the Lord, that is awesome. But it will die. But what is born of the Spirit is Spirit. And as we know, spirit lives on forever, all eternity. Whether you go to hell or heaven, your spirit's going to live on forever, ever. What's born of the flesh will die. What's created out of your own unction. You know, I tried so many times to get off alcohol as trying to come back to the Lord. I tried so many times to just drop it. I was like, no, I'm done. I'm done drinking. I don't want to drink anymore. I don't want to smoke. I don't want to do these things anymore. I could not do it on my own. What is born of the flesh will die. Family hurt. There's things in our life that, stupid things. My brother, I had to forgive him. I had to sit down and I wrote him a letter. And whatever you guys want to do, I wrote my brother a letter. I never gave this letter to him. This might be too psychological for you. I wrote in that letter and I told him everything I've always felt about him in my heart. I said, I hate you. I said, I really hate you for what you did. And please, let's be real, okay? God absolutely will not condemn you for being honest, ever. Oh, well, hate's not supposed to be in your heart, John. Yeah, it is it or is it? What's in your heart? Do you hate that person that hurt you? Do you still feel hurt about him? I did. I don't know about you guys, but I did. So what will it take to get past that? What I did, and I don't know if this works for everybody, but I wrote him a stinking letter. I did. I burned that letter, never gave it to him. I told him everything I thought about him. In detail, I described everything what happened. And I said, I hated you because of that. I got that off of my chest. You need to get stuff off your chest tonight. There's bitterness and there's things probably reveling around your brain that Satan still uses this day to help you get angry. You might not think, oh, where's that anger coming from? Oh, it's unforgiveness. Oh, it's things that I have buried way back. Emotions. Let's just be real. Emotions, we have them. You know, Brandon was talking about crying the other day. He was being real about an emotion he had about his dad not being there. His dad wasn't there. Mom and dad was divorced. His dad was not there to go watch him play basketball. Was not there. He was being real and saying, man, I was emotional in my mind and whatever, in his own terms. You guys can do this on your own terms. When you go up in an altar or when you go and you're laying your head in quiet in your prayer time, you do it in your own way. If you have to write a letter, write a letter. I advise a letter. Letter's cool because it's you're sitting out there and you're... Burn that sucker. Because, I mean, you're never going to give it, you know what I mean? It's not to someone. I mean, it's just venting. Venting with purpose. Cast your cares on Him, for He cares for you. You need to vent. They said all the time, bottled up people, you know, the quiet guy, the guy that bottles up his anger is the most dangerous person. I was always the explosive, reactive person that if you pissed me off, I was going to attack you right then. It wasn't going to be, no, bottling up and I'm going to save it for later. I'm going to get you right now. You better be careful. Anyways, let's get rid of it now. Let's deal with the things that are holding us back, and let's get rid of them. Let's work towards getting rid of them. I bring these things back up to y'all, and I show you guys these things for a reason. Because they're in your heart, whether you know it or not, whether you want to think about it or not. And if you don't deal with it and continue to address the situation and forgive and let God's peace, ask God to let His love conquer the anger. It's pretty simple, man. This whole deal with bringing back old hurt and pain and stuff like that, it's going to be tough. Family hurts suck. People hurting you suck anyways. It's not fun to deal with this stuff, guys. It might make you guys cry. Oh, well. What will it benefit you is my question. It'll benefit you for the rest of your life. You don't have that hanging over your head anymore. I forgave my dad for whooping the crap out of me. I understand whippings, but my dad abused me. He raised his fist at me. He beat the living far out of me. I forgave him. I let that rest. I continue to forgive him. I say it out loud. I choose to forgive my father for having anger towards me. And even if your thoughts were wrong to that person, doesn't mean it didn't happen. It was people that have hurt me in church. And even though I'm wrong in the situation, that doesn't mean it didn't happen. It doesn't mean that my heart wasn't feeling those actions. It doesn't mean it didn't happen. So be real with yourself. Say, hey, I'm going to deal with that. You know, I advise, I'm not going to tell you guys how to pray. I shouldn't tell you how to pray. Lord will teach you how to pray. But I advise you being specific and saying, man, I hated the fact that you abused me. I didn't like it. Get that off your chest, because it's going to eat you up for the rest of your life. Chase that lion down. Kill it. This is how you kill a lion. Practical teaching time. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. This is a little piece of paper. We're almost done with it. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. This is good. This is the part where I want to teach you guys how to live as a Christian and how to be successful. Successfulness is my main goal for you guys. My main goal is not for you just to shout and be hard and, woo, he did a great job. Good job, John. Woo! It's not about that. It is you being successful in your Christian walk. Because if you're not successful, Satan's going to continue to beat you down. You're going to give up. I've watched way too many give up. I will not give up because I know the price he paid for me. I know the change that he's made in my heart. I will not give up. But you will. You'll give up if you lose heart. You'll give up. You'll say, man, it wasn't worth it. I've watched people do it. And you can argue the fact that they were never born again or whatever. I believe that those people were born again. But I believe they're running away from the Lord. They're running away because they just lost their belief. They figure that it was too much because their mind they are not in control of. They're not letting Christ control their mind. A Christ-controlled mind is our... Okay. For though we walk in the flesh, we war. This is war. This is battle. Your life is battle. Your life is war. I started talking about we're picking a fight tonight. It's war, guys. We don't fight against according to the flesh. I don't fight against my dad just because he hurt me, just because things in my past people hurt me. I don't fight against those people. My qualm is not with those people. My qualm is with Satan that empowered those people to do that. And I hate evil. I'm supposed to hate evil. It says love good and hate evil. You say, who hates not what's in your heart? For weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty. They're not fleshly. They're not this hand. I'm not punching the crap out of Satan, which I wish I could. But mighty in God for pulling down a stronghold. That word pulling down in the Greek, it's taking a battering ram. You guys ever seen in old medieval movies when they took the castle and they're taking that big old battering ram and they're smashing the gates of the castle? That's what that word denotes. A battering ram, pulling down of strongholds. Let me tell you how you do it. Okay, it always tells you how to do it afterward. casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. The good thing you know in your head, you know good things, but anything trying to go above that, anything, any prideful thought, any painful thought where, oh, I'm going to get revenge, I'm going to get even. That person that hurt me, I'm just going to get him back. No. You cast down that argument. And I want to teach you how you cast down this argument. You know, we were talking about it earlier. You, and I repeat this scripture. I was in the middle of a Walmart, and this really, 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 really pretty girl was walking by. And I yelled out the scripture. I mean, and I don't care who heard me. I don't give a crap. I really don't. If people think I'm weird, oh well. John the Baptist ate locusts and a camel hair on his back. I mean, that's a weird dude in my perspective. I eat bugs sometimes because I want to be a survival guy, but I do. Yeah, I love bugs. It says, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You say that, and the power of the word, the rhema, the power of your spoken word, of His written word, will enact victory. It will. It's proven in my life. I prove it every day. It works out. If there's a stinking thought, that comes in my head, I'm going to say this scripture. I'm going to say, casting, Lord, I bring every thought into captivity. I tie together this thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I'm giving it to you, Lord. I'm bringing this thought, this imagination, and it goes on down. It says, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Casting down every argument. Let's go to Philippians 4:8. Let's do another little teaching. This is about your mind. This whole thing, addiction, unforgiveness. Remember I talked about the patterns? Remember I talked about the things that come back and it will terrorize you if you let it? I know people that shriek in fear when they hear the name of one person because they heard him before. They hear one name and they shriek in fear. Wow. What are you saying, John? I'm saying your mind will control you. If you do not, Satan will get into your mind. He throws thoughts in your mind. It's all thing he can do. He's a toothless lion, as John says all the time. He cannot destroy you. But what he can do is try to make you destroy yourself. You choose to destroy yourself. Let's just say that. Addiction, unforgiveness, family hurt, all things that will try to live in your life if you do not let it. But let's go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. And I want to teach you guys. This is easy. It's easy. Once I stinking read this and figured it out, I was like, oh, whoa, hey. Finally. And whenever Paul says finally, I want you guys to pay attention. Whenever he says in all these things, pay attention. He's making a good point. Brothers and sisters, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Put them in your mind. I don't care if you only have one thought, and that's your salvation. I don't care. That is honorable. That's praiseworthy. That's awesome. That is of the Lord. That's noble. That's good report. I don't care if it was one thing in your life. For me, I think about kids in Panama. I think about little kids. We put boots on these little kids in Ecuador. And that was praise. That was noble. That was good. That was of the Lord. Because all things that are good come from the Lord. To fight against the attempt to dominate your brain, which Satan tries to do. He tries to dominate your brain. I don't want you guys to think he doesn't. He tries to. He can't, in Jesus' name. I pray. But you let him. You give him full access when you let these things. You know, I was talking to one of my brothers a little while ago. It is not the thought that is a sin. It is not the picture in your head. You know, I'm saying that a lot because it applies to me. It's not the picture in your head, but it's what you do with that picture. It's what you do with that imagination. If you have a thought of anger flash through your head, I'm gonna get even with him or her. She talked about me, and she said that all this stuff, and she said I was a hoe and all that. I'm gonna get her. I'm gonna tell everybody she had chlamydia. That's what I'm gonna do. Let's be real, guys. Come on. The sin is not, and I like to play. The sin is not that thought that crossed through your head, but is what you do with it. If you do something, if you act on that, or if you entice it in your head, if you continually roll it around your head and you think about it and you plan it out, that is a sin. And that is what I'm trying to fight against right now. When those things come across your head, focus. Meditate on His Word. If it is one word out of the Bible, if it's Jesus wept, if it's any word out of the Bible, that's honorable, that's praiseworthy, that's good. That's what it is. I try to memorize as many scriptures as I can just for the opportunities that I have of temptation. Temptation is an opportunity. When Jesus went to the desert, that was His opportunity to show how dedicated He was to the Father. That was His opportunity. He didn't look at it as a challenge. He looked at it as an opportunity to show how good God is, to show how powerful God is. He took captive the thoughts that Satan was throwing in his head. He did, I think it was it four things, I believe? Three or four. Things that Satan put in his head. Three. Took captive those thoughts to the obedience of God, his Father, because Christ. That practical teaching was for you guys to hold every day in your life. Your thoughts, your imaginations, your brain, I cannot do anything about that. This is a battery. I mean, just, sometimes, you know what I mean? Just love to smack someone across the face and just tell how stupid they are for believing a lie, for believing an attempt to dominate their brain. But that's not what it's about. It's not by my ability at all to control your thoughts. It's your opportunity, your choice to continually forgive, your choice to continually let loose of sins people have committed to you, unforgiveness, and it is continually choosing to not be addictive. Don't entangle yourself. Don't go back. If you know a friend that does something, for me, I really enjoyed smoking pot. I really did. I'll be honest about that. And if I go back to those friends' house that do that, and just because scripturally you can't find thou shalt not smoke pot, and I will justify in my brain, and I will entangle myself back into that junk. Just because I went back over to his house and I said, well, let's just hang out here let's camp out with a bunch of sinners for a little while. No. Disciples went two by two for an accountability reason. Don't put yourself in a bad situation. Don't trust yourself. When you go back on, you go back into your life and your everyday life, if there was things that lead it up to a sin that you know lead it up to, you know, you always will know when it lead it up to sin because you feel I believe you feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit already start to attack. I know it with me. He starts to attack the sin because He don't want it in your life. He don't want to be defiled. This is the temple of the Holy Spirit. He don't want to be defiled. And I know I am really long-winded in this whole thing, but this was a lot to say in a little while.